I just left Channel 4. It's an ABC affiliate here in Utah. And I talked on Good Things Utah about how our moods predict our future. And what I mean by that is we always have a mood going on. We're never not in a mood. The moods are in the background of our life. They're in our brain. We look at something, we're always stimulated in our mind. And there seems to be an emotional or a mood set, for lack of better words, like a mindset. We have a mood set. And so we are constantly triggered, whether it's positive or negative, unless we are present. If we're in the moment, we're right here, right now, choosing our responses, choosing our feelings at choice in the present time, then we're not controlled by our mood. Have you ever met anybody that is just chronically upset or angry or the victim? And you kind of are careful around that person because you might be next, you know, to be the offender, and they're going to accuse you of something, or you're not quite sure how to deal with them, or you walk in a room and, you know, you can just feel that person's heat. You can look at them and go, they're in a mood. Maybe it was your mom, and she had a presence or a certain way about her when you were growing up, and you just felt like when you were around, she's going to pounce, or she's going to jump on me, she's mad at me, or your dad, you know, that he got in a mood. And I find this with a lot of men of the older generation. I don't want to stereotype, but it is my experience. That a lot of men in an older generation, my father included in that, or a grandfather, they would get angry, and anger was their mood. Anger was what they would stay in. And so as long as they had that angst, you know, that anger, then they felt like they were in control or they could handle their life. And that was just the predominant mood. I never saw them happy or joyful or, you know, silly. And I just never left it out of that serious tone of angst. I think there was a movie, it's Heat, and with Al Pacino, and he's talking to his girlfriend at the time, and he's like, I got to keep that angst. I got to keep that anger, you know, because that's what keeps him sharp. That's what keeps him on edge and able to handle chasing these bad guys. And it's a great movie. It's years old, but it's a really good movie. But that stood out to me as a detective, that he had to stay in a certain mood set, you know, mindset, mood set, to be able to cope with the job. So I think everyone has these mood sets. You know, when I come to work myself, you know, it's not about me. My clients don't sit in front of me for me to talk about myself or what I got going on. Not that they don't care, but they don't care. So they don't want to sit there and hear me cry about what I got, you know, in the back of my head. It's more about they're coming in to sit down and work through their stuff, which is what I love to do and what I want to do. So I say to myself, no case on post. Like, I do not have a case condition. I do not have an issue right now. It's not about myself. And it's easy to do for me. I'm here for people. So I let go of my mood. And my mood clearly is just, I'm in the moment. I'm going to be present. I'm going to listen. And I'm going to help people deal with their unwanted conditions, whatever those are. But a lot of times people have an unwanted condition of a low mood. And the way to deal with that is you have to see that you have it. You have to be accountable for it now as well. I'm not saying in the beginning that this low mood was your fault. Something happened, you were betrayed, you know, you got abused, you got hurt. And so it puts you in a mood. And from that point on, you said, I never want to go through that again. And so you live your life to avoid that. You know, I've had some people say, I raised my hand in class and, you know, I'm a bad student now because I got embarrassed. I had the wrong answer. I'm never raising my hand again. I'm not going to make a spectacle of myself again. I'm not going to ever be embarrassed again. So they live their life to avoid being embarrassed ever again. And I don't know that anybody else in the classroom ever thought about that moment ever again for that person. But for them, it was traumatic. So they live their life in fear of being embarrassed. And so they don't put themselves out there. They don't raise their hand. That stopped them from being expressed, self-expressed, or answering something, or trying to look smart, or trying to know the answers, maybe. However it affected them, they decided on some level they don't want to live life, you know, embarrassed. But that does shrink us, doesn't it? If we say, I'm never going to go through that again. Well, and again, that's how the brain works. I understand it. We don't want to touch that stove 10 times. It'll burn our hand. So it really is a self-protective mechanism that we say we don't want to go through that again. But if we can't confront these things emotionally, we stay stuck. We are stuck now with, I must not experience that, and I must not experience that, and I can't experience that. So at some point, when do we clear that? When do we get out of that? When do we get self-expressed again, or be able to be in the moment and live from the moment and choose from the moment? You know, these memories do have a place, and I don't think you're ever going to clear all that out. But if you're having problems in your life and there's relationship issues, or you really can't have a discussion about concerns with your partner, or you're told you're always angry, you're moody, you're, you know, you're not fun to be with anymore, or you seem serious all the time, we can't ever laugh, or you're having a hard time with people you're managing at work. If they're complaining about your mood, or you seem intimidating or angry all the time, you know, maybe you've got a problem. Maybe, you know, the problem is you got these habit moods that are preventing you from, you know, being yourself. And you may say to me, or someone, I'm not in a bad mood. I'm just, you know, it's just how I am. It's just what I do. I like me. I don't want to change. Or this is just who I am. And fine, if you don't want to change, that's fine. But if you're having relationship struggles, or relationships are kind of saying, I can't be myself around you, you may want to, if you like that relationship around, you may want to consider talking about it. So this is the stuff that I like to delve into with people. And it's powerful. And I think this affects every human being on the planet. We all have these moods, and these moods can take us over automatically. It's like autopilot. And I don't even think we're consciously going into these moods. We don't even know we're going into them. So it's a prejudice, though. It's, you know, think about going to the dentist or going to the doctor or having surgery. You know, I know myself, if I've got to go under anesthesia, it's like, oh, there's a mood. Oh, I'm afraid. Oh, am I going to die? There's all these things that come over me automatically. I'm not trying to feel those things. So think of wherever you are in your life, every moment of the day, there's a mood. And so how do you sort out this stuff? You kind of need to pause and be in observe mode and observe yourself and tap into, what am I sensing right now? What is my mood right now? It is kind of an emotion, but it's also, it's emotions, it's this attitude, how you're approaching life, and it's trepidatious possibly. Children don't have these mood sets holding them back. They just kind of jump in, and maybe they're a little not cautious. They're fearless, and they just go, they jump into the water. They don't have a memory saying, don't do that. You're going to get hurt or embarrassed or something like that. So they don't have these mood sets holding them back. That, and again, there's a time and a place for that. But usually these moods tend to inhibit our lives. And they're what's deciding the future. When you get asked the question, what do you want to eat? Where do you want to go? Well, I don't know. Let me see what I feel like. Let me see what my mood is. You see how the mood is determining what your choices are right now. That's what I want to help people get rid of, so they can choose from being present and get enrolled in the possibility of a good time or something happy or a new experience or a roller coaster or something that lights them up, instead of this rat on a wheel kind of experience of life where it feels dead or habitual. Robotic. There's nothing high. There's nothing low. You just stay in that same bandwidth, and it's just monotonous, because that's secure and that's safe, and that's how we created it to be, because we don't want to go through those highs and lows anymore. But that kind of means you're just on auto replay, and you're not truly living. So I do feel like to shift your mood, you've got to shift your viewpoint, and it's kind of an assessment of the future. So when you're making choices in the moment, there's a mood. There's also history you look at. Well, what happened before? And it's an assessment of what's going to happen in the future. So that's how these moods are affecting the future, or the choices you make about your future. So then they are predominantly running the show. So that's, you're choosing from what happened before, and you're assessing the future. It's going to turn out the same way. Maybe not. Maybe it will. Maybe it won't. But you don't get to know that, because you're living on auto replay. You're living from the past, and the past superimposes on the present. You know, it's funny how you meet somebody and you have an instant liking for them, or an instant dislike for them, or an instant distrust for them. And while I do believe your instinct is usually right on, your intuition's right on, sometimes they remind you of somebody from your past. And you know, I've looked at people that I have an instant like for. This happened to me at my hairdresser the other day. And there was this gentleman named Doug that walked in, and he was right behind me, and I was taking a little longer. And I just turned around and I just made a joke with him. I said, you know, my therapy took a little longer than normal. I'm so sorry. Because my hairdresser is like my therapist. And actually, he is a client of mine too. But I love him. I've known him for many, many years. His name is Michael. And I consider him a dear friend. And I just love him. But I felt so comfortable with this gentleman walking in behind me that I just turned around and started goofing off with him and just said, you know, silly stuff. And he was delightful. He was funny. I instantly had this connection. I just knew I liked him. And I told him, I said, I just like you already. I think I said, I just love you already. So there was just an instant connection. And as I was leaving there, I thought, who does this guy remind me of? because there was an initial just joyous energy, some open-hearted energy around him. And he sensed that. He didn't walk in goofy and fun. He just walked in, sat down, and waited. But when I turned around and experienced him, I just had an experience that I could just be myself with him. And I thought, driving out of there, he reminds me of another dear friend of mine that looked like him, kind of had a similar vibe. So in that regard, that was a good experience. And I thought, is this genuinely a good person? Does it, you know, because he reminds me of my old friend, can I trust this? And I thought, well, I'm going to go with it. I'm going to see what happens. So I do feel like I can trust him, but I want to process that. I want to assess that. I don't want to be autopilot. I want to be, you know, choosing right here, right now. But I have also met people that there's just an instant dislike for, and they remind me of someone else that I had an issue with, like an ex-husband or someone I had a fight with. And so I'm looking for patterns or some sort of evidence that they're like that person in my past. And I noticed myself doing that. And so I thought, well, you know, I was in a course, I was in a training, he was in the same training. This was just a few months back. And I thought, I'm going to just be present. What if this person, they may seem like, look like this person I had a problem with, what if they're nothing like that? And I found out that that was accurate. It was nothing like this person of mine. I asked, what's your history? You ever been married? I just inquired who this person was. Nothing like the person I had problems with. So now I have a new experience of who this person is. But I can see how my moods, just this instant reaction I have with life, can preset me. It's a prejudice that I will make choices based on my own prejudices, where I come from, and my history, and my feelings, and my mood. And I could be wrong. I think we all can be wrong about life and how we just kind of automatically assess it and determine it's this way. And we really don't know. So I've taken on, you know, challenging myself and just really observing and when I can attempt to get to know that person from the present time and look at if I'm living from an old assessment, an old mood. And when I do that, I've been pleasantly surprised that I was wrong. I'm also doing that about myself. So, you know, there's been times that I think, oh, I'm too late. I can't make it. I'm just going to call and cancel. I'm just not going to go. And these most recent things like this, I thought, no, I'm not going to do that. I gave my word. I'm going to be there. And if I'm 2 minutes late, I'll call and announce I'm 2 minutes late. I'm just going to make it happen. And the times that I've been doing that recently, I'm not late. I've been having some big meetings and things like this. And I can see where I'm confronted by a future that is unknown to me. So I am a little bit fearful or confronted, so I want to sabotage. And I can see myself sabotaging that. So I'm catching myself going, no, you're going to be fine and you're going to go. So I am. And I was this morning, there was a big traffic wreck. I was going to be late, I thought, and I texted, I'm going to be late. I was literally 2 minutes before I needed to go on TV, but I didn't quit. I didn't stop. I kept pushing through it. And it was fine. I really made it. It was just fine. If I have these assessments that I can't do it, I think I will find a way to Houdini those moments. And I think we all do that. I've watched my clients do that. So they give their word to something, they want to do it, it's a change. And so as they process through these mood sets, they think, okay, I'm going to try a new relationship on. I'm going to schedule myself for new haircut or new things to do. Or they've got a new job interview. They start getting confronted by, am I really ready? Am I good at this? Can I do this? And so it's almost like they find a reason to get out of it. And I call it their Houdini moment. They're going to Houdini it. I see myself doing it once in a while. And I'm saying, look, that's the part of you that is challenged. And so push through that challenge. Again, you want to be your word and don't sabotage it. I mean, if you don't get the job, fine, you don't get the job. You know, if you can't make it to the station, then you can't make it to the station. But don't quit before you fully engage and keep your promise as best you can. So let it play out. Just let it play out. And so as I've been doing that myself, I'm pleasantly surprised that it played out and it was great. So now I'm experiencing newly a new future where things are bigger, more expanded. I'm experiencing myself newly. I'm more self-expressed. And I find that with my clients, when they're doing the same thing, they're literally expanding their world and they're having new experiences. They're not sabotaging. They're not getting out of these moments of success. It's interesting. It's not usually the moments of failure that they're trying to run from. It's the moments of success. So these moods are powerful. They're kind of running in the background all the time. And I'm kind of telling my clients just to kind of pause. And I said, use the hours 3, 6, and 9. like, you know, set your timer 3, 6, 9, and just take 3 minutes at 3 o'clock, 6 o'clock, 9 o'clock, if you can. You know, I'm not saying it's got to be 100% perfect, but take 3 minutes and just pause and breathe and notice where you're at. Just do a little tune check-in, like, where am I at? What's my mood? What have I caused with my mood? What's my mood causing? What am I causing? Am I letting my mood run me? Or am I, you know, looking at my moods and choosing to have that mood and not choosing to have that mood? Do I have power of choice over my mood? Because that's truly what it means to be proactive. Either I'm reactive or I'm proactive. And that, to me, is where power is. You know, there's that great book, The Power of Now. And I've not fully read that book, to be honest with you. But I do feel like the messages I've heard about, I've listened to this gentleman speak a little bit that wrote the book, the author. And it really is amazing when you can stop and harness the true power of right now, that you're not living from the past. You're not letting the past dictate your moment. And when you can pause, take a breath, and choose your response, life tends to work out how you're choosing it. And you kind of feel more, no, you don't kind of feel, you do feel like you're in more control over your life and how it's going. And then the results that happen are based from those moments of pause and choice. I have a lot of couples I work with, and when they're heated and they're fighting in front of me, I'm like, okay, time out. You can do this at home. You can fight at home. You know, what I want you to do in front of me is pull back, take a pause. How many times have we had this same fight? How many times have you said the same thing to each other? And pull back and look at what your mood is right now. What is the feeling? What is the feeling? What is the mood? What's the attitude? What is it that doesn't seem like is fully understood? And, you know, when people are in this routine fight, a lot of couples have the same fight over and over. That's really when these dug-in moods really are apparent to me. And they really are, you know, posturing and you have this mood with each other. But if you can stop and pause when you're in that heat of battle and just breathe and say, what am I feeling? What's my mood? It's kind of hard to do when you first look at, what is my mood? We're not used to looking inward and seeing our moods. We're just literally on autopilot. But if you pause and breathe and let that surface, what's my mood? What am I trying to defend? What do I need to be understood? And you really can say that, you know. Like yesterday, I had two people I was working with, a married couple, and the wife said, you just want to be right. You just want to be right. And I'm like, no, hold back. Now that's your assessment. That may not be accurate. Do you want to be right? Or what is it? He's, no, I can be wrong. And I've coached him, and clearly he can be wrong, because I've kind of said, this is where you're wrong. And he doesn't fight me on that. It's, I want you to understand my pain. So when I have these people look at this in a moment of pause, then they really can see what they're really after is to be understood, to be heard. And then I ask them, has this ever happened before your wife? Well, of course, happened when they were in their childhood. He was deaf for 5 years. And so he wasn't understood. People didn't understand him, right? So I would imagine that being understood was a big deal if you were deaf and you were a child and he could not get his needs across and they couldn't understand him. So he actually gets physically animated, not violent, just more hand gestures, eyes contact, more, you know, physical, I think, to get attention from his wife. And she thinks he just wants to be right. I don't fault her. But when I pointed out, I feel like you're reverting to the deaf child and that you were until your ears got mended, and you're trying to get her to understand you, and you don't have a lot of language around that. You just have animation, and that's not helping her understand you. That turned into such a great conversation, because then he could talk about what was really harming him, what was really upsetting him, which was not ever feeling like he ever got understood as a child. And she has done her darndest for the last 17 years to try and understand him, and loves him. But these fights where he will react because he thinks she doesn't understand him, that button gets pushed. And if you're in a relationship with someone who tends to overreact in the moment, it's not about the moment. It's about the past. That is where they've got a mood. This mood is a combination of past strong emotions, an attitude, and some sort of fear or some sort of trauma. And that mood takes them over. And there's just, you got to break into that. You got to process that. But if you want to assess that he just wants to be right, or he just is trying to be controlling, that's the wrong assessment. It's a misdiagnosis. Not necessarily. In fact, when I'm sitting with a client, I'm looking at them wondering, why would that be a good idea? You know, when he gets animated, why is it a good idea for him to get physical, you know, facial animation or hand gestures? When would that have been appropriate? When did he begin that type of patterning? Well, that was when he was deaf, when he was 5. So I almost see people revert into that past memory, that past trauma, and start seeing, and it seems like it's happening again. They start reacting in the moment like it's happening again. And have you ever been in a fight with someone where you just know that they're not talking to you? They're not, you know, they're upset about something, and they're not talking to you, and they're really upset, and they're, and it feels like a strong reaction for what in your mind doesn't seem like it should be that strong of a reaction. I mean, I had someone yell at me across a restaurant once. I was in a relationship with him. F you, you effing B. And it was because I was trying to renegotiate celebrating his birthday, not on his birthday, because there was a concert I wanted to go to with a family member. And it's the concert I wanted to go to. So long story short, I asked if we could do that. I didn't know it was going to bring out the stronger response. He got up, he left the restaurant screaming across the restaurant. I wasn't disturbed by it. I just went, I'm not who he's talking to. And then come to find out that he shared a birthday with his mother-in-law, with his last marriage, and he never had his own birthdays for his entire, you know, 15 to 20 year marriage, never had his own birthday. So I was now turning into his ex-wife that was saying, oh, it's no big deal. We'll just share your birthday with my mom forever. So once we talked about that, but initially, if I started defending myself and yelling back, or again, now I'm in that memory, I'm making that memory stronger for him. Instead of pulling back saying, what are you being reminded of? What's going on? What are you being reminded of? And truly listening. And this is what, you know, I started teaching my clients to do yesterday was when you are really heated, when there's major, you know, anger, major upsets, if one of you could, you know, get composed and pull back and say, what's going on really? What are you being reminded of? What does this remind you of? What am I reminding you of? Who am I reminding you of? There is something from the past that is that mood set. And that mood is from where they're choosing from right now. And you are just like them, and you're hurting them just like they did. So you turn into someone else for them. They're not even talking to you anymore. They're talking to their own mind. They're talking to their own memory. And when I work with people and I help them see that you're even a person that's mad at that, it, you know, that the gentleman that's mad at me, I said, who do I remind you of? I'm not her, but I can see where that would trigger that. So I just hit your button and I'm taking, you know, the wrath. He's unloading that ammo onto me because he's upset about what happened before. And a lot of relationship problems are this right here in a nutshell, that you have some past, you know, unresolved issue with somebody else. And in the current relationship, they remind you of that person. And you don't want to break up with them, but you're not able to handle yourself. And so the anger from the past might get the best of you. And that person may leave you because they can't handle your anger either. And they're not mad at you. They're mad at the past. Yet it's in the present time. You see how the old mood set, the old stuff gets in the way. And that's a problem in your relationships now. Even stonewalling communication or just not talking. I think people avoid their moods or showing their true feelings. They stonewall, they don't want to be embarrassed, or they don't want to admit they have any problems from the past. But those things inevitably will come out in the present relationship. And that's probably the only person that you might actually experience these moods with. And so everybody else thinks, you know, nothing wrong, you're great, except for the person that you're triggered by. So, you know, what I tell people, look, if you're upset, you're a problem. If you get upset, there's something you got to work out within yourself. You got to process that. It isn't necessarily their fault, the person that triggered you. It's not necessarily their fault. They either did harm you or they reminded you of somebody who did harm you. And now you're taking out that angst onto them. So if you're an upset person, you know, if you have to do it yourself, if you can't come see me or if you can't get into some therapy, you want to do a timeline. You want to say, okay, what is my upset? I'm betrayed or I'm angry and I'm angry because write that down, you know, like do a timeline, write that down. What am I upset by? Well, this person's making me feel, what are they making you feel? Have I ever felt that way before this person? Am I being reminded of something before? I'm going to tell you, it's 100%. Yes. Yeah, that's been my experiences. When you look back on it, yeah, when I was, you know, 7 or 8, or, you know, a lot of people have abandonment issues. They stay too long in a relationship, or they, you know, they stay in a relationship when there's been a sexual betrayal or some sort of violence, even because they can't handle the inevitable, which is the ending. They can't handle a divorce or a breakup or saying goodbye. So they just put up with and stay way too long, and they get hurt because they must not experience an ending. Did they have an early childhood divorce? Did they have an early childhood death? Yeah, usually. And so that's what they're living their life to avoid. The solution to that pain was, we'll never have an ending. Well, how could that go wrong in the future? Right? Because sometimes things need to end. And if they don't end, you're in harm's way. You're going to get hurt, or you'll get yourself killed, you know, or you get yourself more and more emotionally damaged. So this is really where the work needs to be done with people. If they find themselves stuck in these moods and they can't handle something that's happened before, look, you're going to have that happen over and over until you can really deal with yourselves. But when people come in and they're upset, it is their problem. If you get yourself triggered by something, you got yourself triggered by something and you're triggered. So if you're triggered, you've got to work on that. It isn't someone's fault. You can't blame the world for your emotional stuff. You're not a victim everywhere. And my experience with a lot of victims is they're usually looking for someone to victimize them. They want someone else to lie to them or to hurt them, and then they can continue to be the victim. And that's something they decided early on, is they're a victim. Well, that doesn't have to be the case forever. But if it's turned into a racket, or if it's turned into a way of life for them, maybe they like being the victim. Maybe they get mileage out of it. Maybe they can, you know, get help, or people save them and people feel sorry for them. Maybe they want pity, or they sell it. And so they're seen as the helpless one. You know, people get a lot of mileage out of these stories. But if you're living in a story, again, you're living in that mood, and people around you are working to never be that bad person in your life. And these moods can control other people. You know, they dominate in the relationship. You know, you don't want them to be in a bad mood, so that maybe you're with someone who's always in a bad mood, so you're always trying to make them happy, make them feel good. That's codependency. But yet you're codependent so that you can validate yourself by being their hero, being their savior. A lot of men say to me, how do I make a woman happy? Make her happy. Well, you probably can't. I'm not saying she's not ever going to get happy, but you're not going to make her happy, because that's not the nature of a relationship, and you're not going to be her hero. So then what, right? You have to look at what it is, or who you're really trying to save. Is it your mom? Is it your sister? Is it someone from your past that you want to pull out of a negative relationship? You want to be the hero guy, not a mean dad or a mean grandpa. You know, there's all these things we decide growing up, and then we start living out them out in the future. And it's because we must not experience whatever happened in the past. So then you decide you're going to be this way now in the future. And that's the solution to the past problem, but it could be causing present time problems as well. So it's kind of a tricky topic. It's interesting. There's a lot to talk about with this stuff, but it really is fascinating when you start looking at how people live in these patterns. And when you can free yourself up from these patterns, you can get over the low moods. You can get over the negative moods. Your life can be joyful again. You can be present in the moment, and you can live for the now. So, and choose from this moment on. I hope this helped you, and I'd love to hear from you. You can contact me at healwithcamille.com. That's heal with K-I-M-I-L-E.com.